Yeah. introduce a mentor and a friend and a colleague, Dr. Paul Gappias. For many of you, he needs no introduction, but it gives me pleasure to tell you of his achievements and of his dedicated work. Dr. Paul Gappias was born and raised in Montreal and schooled in English and is fluent in English and French. He graduated cum laude from Concordia University and received his PhD in experimental psychology.
for the stew, which they call fricassee in French. There were periods of silence imposed on the children for reasons we did not understand. Every time we walked places, we had to be silent. The younger children were each assigned an older boy to help them. I still remember the name of the boy who was assigned to me. I also remember that I thought he was mean and that he stank. Changing in and out of overalls for play periods was also done in silence. Meals were eaten in silence, except for designated periods during which we could speak. They had a strange word for overalls. They called overalls salopette, which translated literally means little dirty farts. Children to feel good about coming to the school.
That's right.
dire. The children who were bad on any given night were told that they would have to line up at the nun's bedroom door that evening before going to bed. Each child was taken in one at a time. We could hear the nun order each child to pull down his pants. We could hear the slaps against each child's skin over the wailing of each child. There were sometimes 10 to 12 children in line on any given night. The nuns tried to perpetuate an atmosphere of terror over the children. But most children stood up to it, got used to it, and always found ways to fight back. I remember a cookie raid on the kitchen that was performed by older children during the night. One older child wrestled a nun to the floor. Another nun had to come to her rescue. That the further away your parents lived, the meaner the nuns allowed themselves to be. I remember one little boy, Chen Wuxiang. His family was very poor. They managed to send him a statue of the Blessed Virgin for his birthday. One time, he and I were in the infirmary together on his birthday. We were talking when we were supposed to be silent. The nun came in. She started screaming. Then she smashed his statue. I guess it wasn't a sacrilege because it hadn't been blessed yet. The next thing I knew, she was beating Janu over the head with a tin can. Hit me in the face a few times with a cardboard box. My parents lived in Montreal. Janu's parents lived in Winnipeg. My father gave the nuns $5 a week. Janu's parents were poor and probably less educated. The Blount family had two other younger children at the school, Antoine and Francine. The school had some good things too. They had garden swings on which we could rock ourselves back and forth and imagine that we were being gently rocked by our mother or our father. That usually didn't last too long because other kids got on the swing. They wanted it to swing high and they wanted the swing to jump. The nuns always intervened when we got too rough with the garden swings. There were regular swings too. There was a set of monkey bars. There were scooters and tricycles that we sometimes were allowed to use. 1992, as the National Federation of the Blind, Advocates for Equality. At the 1997 convention of the National Federation of the Blind in New Orleans, Louisiana, our delegation was comprised of over 90 members from Canada. We held our first convention in Canada in Vancouver, British Columbia, in February of 1998. Even after all the work that we had done between 1992 and 1998, I was defeated as president at the first NFBAE convention in Canada, which was held in February 1998. Today, I am not surprised, although then I was, and I was deeply wounded, disappointed, and angry. But time, goodwill, and support from friends as a way of healing wounds and strengthening resolve. In retrospect, I say that I am not surprised because I can use history as a teacher. All we need do is to look back at a speech that was given by Dr. Tenbrook at the 1967 convention of the National Federation of the Blind. He was discussing the relationships between the organized blind and agencies in different parts of the world. When it came to Canada, he said, "In Canada, the story is perhaps the saddest and sorriest of all. In that northern clime, an agency colossus bestrides the world of the blind from coast to coast, making free use of company union tactics wherever any independent sentiment dares to express itself among the disorganized blind. Only a handful of undaunted spirits remain to hold the banner aloft in the deserted battlefield." Of course, the agency colossus he was referring to is the CNIB. The existence of the National Federation of the Blind Advocates for Equality meant that independent sentiment dared to express itself among an organized group of blind people in Canada. This organization was not the only one to split under the acts of the CNIB. Two provincial organizations have come and gone, Boost in Ontario and VIPAC in Saskatchewan. The CCB, Canadian Council of the Blind, which largely concerned itself with recreational activities, is barely able to keep itself financially alive. Many white cane clubs have deserted the CCB to operate on their own. It seems that wherever the CNIB sticks its nose in the affairs of the organized blind in Canada, there is chaos, confusion, and dissent. As Dr. Tenbrook put it so well in 1967, the CNIB uses company union tactics for its own gain. As far as the CNIB is concerned, every dime collected in the name of the blind should end up in CNIB coffers, and all programs and organizations of the blind must derive from or be associated with the CNIB. In Quebec, the CNIB is weak. My My feeling is that the CNIB wanted it that way. In Montreal, when I was growing up, the little building on Crescent Street was all the CNIB had to offer the blind in the area. In Toronto, on the other hand, the CNIB possesses many large buildings and beautiful grounds. Perhaps dealing with so much French in Quebec was simply too difficult and cumbersome for a centralized bureaucracy from Toronto. In any case, by design or not, the CNIB is weak in Quebec. Consequently, the blind of Quebec have been able to organize in relative peace. In Quebec, there is a large provincial organization of blind people called Le Regroupement des Aveugles et Amblyopes du Québec, RAC. The largest chapter of that organization is called Le Regroupement des Aveugles et Amblyopes de Montréal, RAM. The blind of Quebec have not attempted to expand their range beyond Quebec. Perhaps for the moment, we should concentrate our efforts in British Columbia. Here is my reasoning for this approach. One thing I have learned about Canada is that almost everything is under provincial jurisdiction. Even the sacred Canadian Health Act has now been reinterpreted in Quebec. Private clinics are now legal in that province. But I digress. Let's get back to the growth of federationism in Canada, particularly in British Columbia. In February of 1999, the second convention of the National Federation of the Blind Advocates for Equality was held in Victoria. By that time, the founders of the NFBAE realized that we had made a grave mistake in planning the expansion of the organization. Any blind person could become a member of the organization. We were so in love with the National Federation of the Blind and its philosophy of blindness that we thought that everyone would embrace it, given the chance. We should have learned from the American experience, but we didn't. In the United States, there is an agency-dominated organization of the blind whose sole purpose seems to be to attack the National Federation of the Blind. The name of that organization is the American Council of the Blind. We expected better of blind Canadians, but alas, in the affairs of blindness, national origin is irrelevant. the American Foundation for the Blind, an ancient enemy of the National Federation of the Blind, which has now been immobilized, gets to speak at NFB conventions. A little history will highlight what I mean. The National Accreditation Council of Agencies Serving the Blind, NAC, was chiefly a product of the American Foundation for the Blind. Members of the National Federation of the Blind killed NAC after many years of demonstrations and protests against NAC. NAC was the American Foundation's baby, and the Federation killed the baby because we knew it was going to grow up to be a monster in the lives of the blind. Still, staff members from the American Foundation for the Blind come to NFB conventions, and they are pleased to speak at our conventions. We listen politely, and we assess the information they bring. Power can bring new friendships.
Oh, yeah.
The reasons for the emerging presence of these agencies at NFB conventions are complex. But one thing blind scientists, blind government employees, and blind entrepreneurs. Although these groups of blind professionals are primarily working in the United States, blind Canadians find interactions with these various professionals invaluable. Almost every Canadian who attends NFB conventions sends us a letter of appreciation for the opportunity to have attended an NFB convention. They say that the convention improves their outlook on blindness and provides them with practical skills and techniques for their daily lives. They say that they look forward to attending future conventions of the National Federation of the Blind, and that networking within the expertise of the blind community within the Federation on a yearly basis improves their lives and the lives of blind people in their local communities throughout Canada. They say that these conventions will increase their organizational efforts of the blind in their own communities. Therefore, it is extremely important to help blind Canadians attend NFB conventions, both in Canada and the U.S. The National Office will do what it can to help as many blind Canadians and family members of blind Canadians to attend NFB conventions. However, the membership of the organization must find ways to fund the organization. This year, the National Office spent $89,209.92 to help the delegation of the National Federation of the Blind Advocates for Equality attend where the English tea was thrown away. A revolutionary beginning for a Canadian organization steeped in NFB. like blind people in Canada. Let them join other organizations of the blind or of the blind. Let them form their own organizations. Some blind people don't believe that blindness is respectable. Blind children that take for granted the essential nature of Braille and cane travel. Government needs to manage an appropriate funding for the rehabilitation of blind adults. There needs to be funding for library services and technological support for blind people, including Newsline for the Blind. Newsline is a program administered by the National Federation of the Blind. It can provide newspapers through the telephone for every newspaper in North America. In Canada, it comes from an English tradition. As Dr. Tenbrook explained in 1967, this is not the best tradition to come from if you are blind. In that 1967 banquet address, having characterized the relationship of the National Federation of the Blind and the agencies of the United States as strained, he said, with respect to the rest of the world, that much of the same tense and tortuous relationship existed at that time between the blind in other parts of the world and the agencies in the rest of the world.
I feel like it's fixed now.
Rust, rot, leaf mold, and metabolism. Fire is, so to speak, only a flash in the pan, a momentary aberration. Of vastly more importance to the blind of the world are the slow, unspectacular chemical changes which take place every day. The oxidation of millions of tons of matter occurring so slow as to pass without comment. Through this brief foray into science, President Maurer meant to emphasize that the events that cause hope and despair, joy and depression, are of tremendous significance even when they pass unnoticed and without remark. He said that the process of quiet but dramatic change is an integral part of being human. He said that this is also the very essence of the National Federation of the Blind. The cumulative effect of the drama without fanfare, which is reflected in the growth of our movement and the lives of its members, is perhaps more spectacular than any other single event which the decades have brought, regardless of how pivotal and far-reaching that event may have seemed at the moment. This is what President Maurer said in 1987. Since 1999, without fanfare, we grew the Canadian Federation of the Blind. Oriano Belusic first took the presidency. I am so grateful to him for doing that. At that time, I needed a rest. I needed a change. I needed to know. That there was sufficient will in the Canadian membership to continue the growth of federationism in Canada with a president who had never lived in the United States and a president who had never been part of the federation from the United States. Oriano did an excellent job for 3 years during perhaps the most difficult part to date of the growth of the movement. Then, in 2003, Elizabeth Lalonde was unanimously elected as president. She was unanimously re-elected in 2005. She is doing an excellent job. This first convention of the Canadian Federation of the Blind is largely to her credit. The fact that we are having this convention is our living monument to the work of bringing federationism to Canada that was begun in 1992. Our roots in federationism are strong and deep, and we will never go back. We have withstood attacks from the CNIB and blind people of different persuasions, and we are stronger for it. I am sure that attacks against us will not end. In his 1997 banquet speech to the National Federation of the Blind Convention in New Orleans, as in other speeches, Dr. Jernigan said, "For us, as with other minorities, there is only one way to achieve civil rights. That is confrontation. The status quo always fights change." He went on to explain by saying, "Many people think that civil rights and integration are the same thing. They aren't. The concept of civil rights precedes integration and is a necessary precursor to it. As used in the late 20th century, the term civil rights, although some people will deny it, always means force, an in-your-face attitude by the minority. Laws that make somebody do this or that, picketing, marches in the street, court cases, and much else." Dr. Jernigan explained that in the United States, the Federation had done those things, all of them. It had to, he said. If his assessment of the attainment of civil rights is correct, that there must always eventually be confrontation, particularly when a minority group gets close to reaching its goal, then our path is laid out for us, and sooner or later, we, the Canadian Federation of the Blind, will have to engage in confrontation in order to achieve equality. It will not be pleasant, but we are used to unpleasant things in life, both individually and collectively. Our movement will not be penetrated, nor marginalized, nor maligned, nor cast aside as irrelevant. We are an enduring force to be reckoned with. Federationism will grow in Canada
That is a certainty. Forces opposed to the emancipation of the blind may attempt to obstruct the progress of federationism or drag their feet, but their shoes will wear down. The Canadian Federation of the Blind will not be worn down. We are ready for the future. The future is ours to shape, and we will never go back. The Canadian Federation of the Blind is here to stay. Let's celebrate our accomplishments and bask in our glory. Let's end this banquet speech by singing all together, just as we did when we began the Canadian Federation of the Blind. Glory, glory, Federation! Glory, glory, Federation! Glory, glory, Federation! Glory, glory, Federation! Our cause goes marching on!
Prizes. Keep on going until the bike is empty. Okay, we still have more.
Oh, well.
What do we do?
Go for a dope press.
How many do we have left?
I mean, that's right. This is it, right? This evening.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
we have to do it, you guys.
Time to go.
I know it's hard.
SEC, raw again.
50-50.
We need another
dirt
press.
Oh,
I didn't
pardon me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I cannot meet all my
own. Another turn here.
I'm going to see if this works here. Particularly since I don't know rail.
And the winner is Tempe Hughes.
Yay!
There's a new one. Tequila. No. She was drinking tequila in the bar earlier.
Oh,
yeah, they were giving her a hard time.
Money.
No, any kidding.
Oh, it could be.
Oh, that's right. Paul gave money. You got that in there, Rick?
Oh, what money?
Yeah, it's something from the Wax Museum, but we're not quite
sure what it is.
It's wax.
Wax.
Make your own candles.
Burn my candle.
Oh, it's a cassette tape of Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol.
Oh, nice.
It's a gift from the Wax Museum of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
Oh,
plus there's also a complimentary admission.
It's the back door. Because they're running so much food into the bar, I think the bartender got tired of opening and closing the door. Or having somebody do it for him when his hands were full.
Yeah, shake them up.
I remember when I thought getting door prizes was going to be a problem, but
Two big
bill
were too hungry. And the winner is David Brown. Yay!
Finally, the D's are making a comeback.
Yeah.
Take it to TD.
Yeah.
Don't put it in the bank account.
What did he get, Rick?
Are your cards not in there?
In my pocket.
Oh. No, wait. Elizabeth won one, though, earlier today.
Yeah.
Are those your banquet tickets?
The banquet
ones. Oh, yeah.
I guess that they're using, aren't they, or no?
No. They're using the registration tickets. Elizabeth won one earlier.
Who's going to draw next? Jeff, your turn to draw one.
Yeah, Jeff hasn't drawn anything.
Hey, okay, Jeff, keep it in the family. Oh,
there we go.
And the winner is, keep it in the family, Liz Roten. Oh!
She's won a lot. It's like her third or fourth today.
Keep them in the family.
We have so many gifts that people are like, we do forget. Okay, there's one more.
Is this the cash?
No draw.
No,
who wants to draw?
Where'd the cash go?
No,
Paul gave cash. We haven't seen it yet.
Where is
it? Yeah, David got it.
Oh, David got it.
Oh, David got it, David. You didn't need the money.
I'm the money guy.
You're the banker. You didn't need the money.
And the final prize goes to Mr. Keep It In The Family, Hans Rowe.
Thank you.
Very good.
Steak. You smell.
Yes, I do. Very nice.
That's it, you guys. That's all we have. I'm sorry.
Oh, we want more.
No, that was good, though.
Yeah, right? Because I have it. But
there's still more tickets in there.
No more prizes.
If you just want to hear your name, you can sit around and somebody will draw tickets.
Next name out pays my bill. That'd probably be me.
Officially closed, but everyone can relax and sing and whatever. Thank you again so much.
Could someone close the door?
You know, Mariel, the bartender has had to run the food around through the patio instead of straight through the room. And he can't open the door by himself. So if there's nobody there to help him, that's why the door is open. They've been trying not to interrupt our session here. So that's why the back door got opened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is so nice.
I think a round of applause for everybody here. I think you've done a fantastic job.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now you can play with your buttons.
Yeah.